Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee on today, Thursday, the 15th of November, 2018. It's now gone 6:30 p.m., so we'll make a start. So if you turn to your agenda papers, the first item is the emergency evacuation procedure. So I can confirm that we are not expecting a fire drill this evening. If there is a fire alarm, it is for real. Members will be aware that the nearest exit, if you're part of this committee, is to the fire exit to our rear, and those members of the public and officers, your nearest fire exit is to your left. Okay, so agenda item 2 is apologies for absence. Can the committee clerk confirm if there are any apologies, please?
We've received no apologies, Chairman.
Okay, thank you very much. So turning to item 3, which is the minutes of the last meeting outlined on pages 5 to 8 of your agenda papers. Before I move the minutes, does anyone have any comments? Okay, just to note, there is a slight amendment to the minutes, and we will provide a copy of these to all members, but I hope it's non-contentious. It just relates to the motion referred to the Policy and Resources Committee by full council relating to the glyphosate motion. Originally, you're noting the minutes, it says decision when it's actually a recommendation to council, and our decision was that our recommendation is that the motion be supported. So it's just making that clear. Like I said, we will provide a copy, but I consider that to be non-contentious. So I move the minutes as amended. Is that seconded? So yep. Seconded by the Vice Chairman. If anyone has anything else to say on those minutes, please say now. If not, we're going to move to the vote. Thank you.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you very much. So the minutes are passed. Moving to agenda item 4, declarations of interest. Do members have any interest to declare under our code of conduct? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. It's such a large agenda tonight. I think, as I'm a North York County Councillor, I would actually like to say we've got an interest. It's non-pecuniary, non-prejudicial, but something just might crop up tonight, so I'm going to register an interest. Thank you.
Councillor Andrews.
Thank you. I've got a personal and pecuniary interest in the Work Grants Working Party, one of the grants you've allotted to, so I'm just holding my hand up for that one.
Okay, thank you. And just to confirm, the recommendations from the working party, so that working party was scheduled for today. It's been postponed, so that will be considered on the next meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee, I think in 2 weeks' time at the end of November. So we'll note that and carry forward to the next meeting. Thank you. Councillor Arnold.
I am a North Yorkshire County Councillor, Chairman, if anything arises.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan? Okay, no worries. As members may have been informed prior to the meeting, I have changed the agenda round to make sure that we deal with all items that are going to be referred on to council first, and I have also prioritised items with a greater time restraint, such as the proposed increase in the number of Moulton Town Councillors due to the fact that the consultation is intended to get underway. The proposed order of the agenda was emailed to all members on Monday, and you will note that the first item is the Moulton Livestock Market Report, agenda item 16. Sorry?
Before you start, is it possible, I did get the thing, thank you, Luke, amended running order. And I just wondered if we could possibly put one of the agenda item 10, the terms of reference for working parties and subcommittees, at the end of the Part B items, because I would like to see this as a Part B item.
Okay, so it's been considered by officers. It is a Part A item. Of course, it is the preserve of this committee to refer an item to full council for decision. So when we get to that item, it is your prerogative to move such an amendment.
Do you think possibly it will be this evening, though?
I wish I had a crystal ball.
Or could we possibly put it just to the end of the Part B items? We're not actually admitting that it's going to be about Part B item, but look at it then.
So currently it is the first Part A item that we will consider, apart from the increase in Moulton Town Councillors, which I stated has got a time element attached to it. So it will be the first Part A item.
This evening, yes.
This evening, if we get to it, and I would hope that we can have an efficient meeting, but clearly that's part of that is outside of my hands, but you can work with me on that, Councillor Andrews. Okay, so like I said, we're now going to turn to agenda item 16, which was detailed on the, agenda item 16, which has been provided on the late papers. So that's on pages 13 to 18 of the late papers. The lead officer for this is Gary. So Gary, would you briefly introduce this report, please?
Thank you, Chairman. I will be brief. Obviously, this is a subject matter that's been well trailed. There was a report to the 26th of July meeting of PNR, and thence on to full council on the 6th of September. And the gist of that meeting on the 6th of September was to refer the whole matter back to PNR. So this is its first appearance back at Policy and Resources Committee as a subject matter. Just drawing your attention to part 6 of the report, what that does outline is the background paragraph 6.4. Members will also recall in between the PNR meeting and full council there was actually a very well attended member briefing session on the 30th of August. I think there were 25 out of the 30 members here all showing the level of interest in trying to find an alternative location to the livestock market for Moulton and Rydale. With that in mind, we held a meeting also in the offices here with all of the interested parties. You'll remember from the briefing session that we had the Moulton Farmers Livestock Market Company representatives as well as both auctioneers, both estates. And that led on to another meeting held here in the council's offices on the 5th of October, also attended by officers of APP, which is a company listed on the County Council's framework agreement. What that's resulted with is essentially is a fee proposal for it, what could be up to a two-stage options appraisal process for a new livestock market facility. The report details in paragraph 6.6 and 6.7 what that stage one and stage two process might cover. And the fees are also set out in paragraph 6.6, with the stage one appraisal process being just shy of £20,000 and the fees for stage two being just shy of £27,000. Now, the recommendation for members tonight, just moving back to the front page of the report, this was a subject matter which was trailed at the Resources Working Party last week, and members who were at that Resources Working Party will notice a slightly subtle change to the detail of the recommendation. Some of the discussion at Resources Working Party was the potential differences between the stage one and stage two of the option appraisal process, very much around whether if at the end of stage one there was nothing to continue with, then obviously that we wouldn't necessarily be going forward with the second stage of that work. And so paragraphs 2.2 and 2.3, Chairman, of the recommendation seek to capture that. The gist of it is that in the event at the end of the stage one options appraisal work, if there is a favourable outcome suggesting that there is an option and further work to be done, then that is delegated to myself in consultation with the Chairman of Policy and Resources. Alternatively, if the stage one work is less clear-cut or unfavourable, then that would be brought back to members of Policy and Resources in the way of a further report. So that's it in a nutshell, Chairman.
Thank you. Are there any questions at this stage? No, in which case, as Chairman of the Committee, I'll move the Officer recommendation, which has been seconded by the Vice-Chairman. Councillor Gardner, you signalled before. Do you wish to speak or move an amendment on this item?
I would like to move an amendment.
Okay, can you confirm the amendment, please?
Yes, this is to do with, just to clarify the point about the options. On that first paragraph, it says, with the aim of recommending a preferred option for a relocated livestock market for Rydale. I'd like to change that slightly to the wording, to determine viability of a relocated livestock market and recommend a preferred option, including not moving forward.
Thank you. And is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Val Arnold. Have you got that in writing? Okay, if you just provide a copy. Thank you. So just to confirm, this is paragraph 2.1. It currently states that the council makes available up to £50,000 from reserves to commission an independent options appraisal comprised of two stages. And then this is the part which is being proposed to change. It currently states, with the aim of recommending a preferred option for relocated livestock for Rydale. Instead, it will state to determine viability of a relocated livestock market and recommend a preferred option, including not moving forward. So I think the purpose of this, Councillor Gardner, is just to make clear that a potential option could be not moving forward, rather than just stating the aim of recommending an option. An option could be not moving forward. Okay.
Look, can you just repeat it again?
Where it states the aim of recommending, from that point on, it's replaced with to determine viability of a relocated livestock market and recommend a preferred option, brackets, including not moving forward, close brackets. Full stop. Okay, Councillor Gardner, over to you.
Yes, this is just a simple point. Just the way it was reading there, I thought that it could do with the clarification that there are three options, not the two. I just want to make sure that it's simply known.
Thank you. Councillor Val Arnold, do you wish to speak at this time?
No, I'll reserve my... thank you.
Thank you. Do any of the members wish to speak on the issue of the amendment? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Disappointed really that you've popped that in, because it actually sends out negativity, which there's been a lot of negativity around the livestock market, and that is not what Rydale wants to put out there. We want to be reactive and we want to try and help and want to move forward. I think when negative language is used, it's not very helpful, and I think our officers have given us a quite adequate set of words, and I don't see why you really need to put that in.
Any other members? Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. I fully agree with the amendment. The farmers that I've spoken to don't believe a new market with the numbers of livestock going there would be viable, nor do they feel that the numbers of buyers going there are giving the livestock people the options that they're looking for. The larger livestock producers are all sending, without exception I believe, all sending their livestock dead weight to the slaughterhouses. The other point that was made to me is that, yes, there are only four or five buyers going to the market and buying livestock, but if one of them were to drop out, and that's the biggest buyer, the market would be dead anyway, and farmers would be taking their livestock elsewhere. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Wainwright. Councillor Rafer.
Thank you, Chairman. I'll have to come from it at the other end as a potential buyer of the finished product, i.e. the beef or the lamb. And butchers are looking for a bargain. They always have been. They always will be looking for a bargain. And the market is a place that provides that. Wholesalers buy direct from farms, the bigger wholesalers in beef. They don't go through a market at all. And this is the same with large supermarkets buying direct from farms for produce that they sell in their supermarkets. It's bad for the customer at the end of the day. And I appreciate what the amendment is trying to do, but I wouldn't like to think that we're going to look at it negatively, as it's been put in the first instance. We need to look at all options carefully. I agree. It's a substantial sum of money, and it has drawn criticism in various quarters already, as far as I'm aware. But we're here to do the best for the businesses in Rydale, and one of our bigger businesses in Rydale are our farmers, and I think they need some support of some sort. So I would like to throw it out just on a principle that we need information, agreed. And so long as we get that information, I'll be okay. So I just want to raise a flag that I'm not quite happy with it. I'll support it, but I'm not happy with it.
Thank you. Councillor Duncan.
Just following on from what Councillor Raper said, he said that we're here to do what we can for the businesses of Rydale. We're also here to do what we can for the taxpayers of Rydale, and that's what we're here for, and that's what we're here to do. And if we didn't have the option on the table of actually doing nothing, we wouldn't, I don't think, be able to fulfil our responsibility to the taxpayers of Rydale, that if this isn't viable and we can't move forward, it's right that we leave that open as a potential option. So I will be supporting the amendment that my colleague has put forward. I think it's important that we make clear that that could be a potential option that we do come to in terms of coming to a conclusion when this viability process concludes.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not sure how we've reached a stage where we're going to be putting in 50,000 for to examine the options when I'm not sure that we've had a sort of survey of what the farmers think, what the auctioneers think. Now, I'm all for finding out whether it's a wise thing to do. I'm not sure how much groundwork we've done with the interested parties and the future liabilities of the cattle market.
Thank you. Just to confirm, Councillor Thornton, we had the member briefing session. Interested parties were invited to that briefing session, and there was a series of questions. The purpose of the recommendation in this paper is for us to move forward with a viability study, which will conduct market research, which will conduct analysis to determine viability and whether it's something we could move forward with, and if so, how that could be best achieved. And I think a point to which I wish to reiterate, I've been clear all along, we're not making a decision at this stage to move forward with the livestock market. We're making a decision to investigate how it could be achieved and what potential involvement this council could have. Thank you. Councillor Joy Andrews, do you wish to speak on this item at all? Okay, in which case we'll come back to any of the members if you wish to speak before we'll go to a vote on the amendment. Okay, we'll go to a vote on the amendment.
It's all right, it's okay. It's okay. Miss me. I reserve my right, but anyway.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for the amendment and 1 against.
Thank you. So we now turn to the substantive recommendation as amended. Do members wish to speak on the substantive item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Well, first of all, I would like to say that this council did provide an excellent briefing, and it was very, very well attended. And I think for the first time in many, many years, it was actually an inclusive meeting, a meeting of users, end users, who wanted to be involved right at the start and were, for some reason beyond known to me, were never really involved. So I think the officer that led it should be congratulated, because everybody was included at that meeting and felt that they had a genuine input, and they felt that their views were at least considered and they were at least listened to. So that's the first thing. So I think in that respect, this council was moving in the right direction. I wasn't at the July meeting, the full council. I was poorly, so I'm not privy to all what went on. But I think what we've got to remember is that this is not just about, is a livestock market viable or not viable, and do Councillor Wainwright's friends have decided now that they don't want to use it or they do want to use it. This is about getting the livestock market relocated and out of Moulton, and to try to sustain the livestock market. But not only that, and not only that, and that's very clear, is that it actually is the catalyst to all that is going to be developed down there. I personally don't think this council should lead the development. I don't think, I've said it before and I'll say it again, I don't think we're builders. And if we are builders, we should be building affordable homes. If we can build and rent out properties, then we should build affordable homes. But that market would be a catalyst, and it would be a travesty if we didn't actually really, really investigate moving forward with this. So I think we're moving in the right direction. I think that it's disappointing to hear about negativity when we're only on the first step on the road to actually seeing what is actually happening. Hopefully the people who are going to do this study will actually be able to talk to everyone that is involved and have meaningful conversation. And as I say, I think that what we've got to do is we've got to think it's not just about certain farmers saying they don't want to do this or they don't want to do that, but it's about the catalyst and about taking the market out of Moulton. So I do hope you'll be positive tonight, because we don't know what the outcome's going to be. And I hope you don't have negativity about it and always be negative about Moulton, because it's something that we need. And as I say, I'd like you to think seriously about, obviously, us building affordable homes rather than commercial units to rent.
Thank you. Do any of the members wish to speak? Councillor Wainwright.
Thank you, Chairman. A livestock market on its own would not be viable. It would need ancillary auctions to go along with it. Moulton used to have its furniture sales in the Milton Rooms, and one of the auctioneers who was here at the briefing session was quite happy for his company to move their furniture sales to York, where they have another auction site, which just show how much faith he would have in a livestock market or a market of any kind being viable at Eden Camp. Thank you, Chairman.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I did vote in support of the amendment. Need to qualify that, I think. I'm not averse to the investigation taking part. In fact, I welcome it. We need some more information to give us this impetus and to help us drive forward on what we need to be doing and the way we need to be doing it. We need this information. Who's going to be a user of this facility if it's provided? And we can't do that until we've got this investigation underway and got that information back to us. And saying anything prior to that, I think, is superfluous. So just to explain, I'm totally against spending it. I want to spend this money if we can.
Thank you. Any other members? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I seem to remember when this went through planning or a subsequent planning for housing on the back of this, that there was a lot of mention of a food hub. And now we seem to be talking about commercial buildings as if it's going to be non-specific commercial activity. And I wonder if we should be just putting food hub back into the conversation, the cattle market and food hub.
Do any of the members wish to speak? Councillor Val Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. Just basically, we are, as it says in the recommendation, we're making this money available so that we are able to make a decision, whatever that decision may be. There's obviously three options there to look at, and we have to look at all those three. And when we've had the appraisal done, we'll then be able to make up our minds. But without it, how can we make up our minds? I don't think so. Anyway, thank you.
Thank you. Any other members? No, in which case, just before we go to the vote, I've got a few things to say myself. So, having spoken to quite a lot of members over the past few months, I think it's clear that everybody... I've not heard one member say they do not want to see a livestock market in Rydell. Not one. The question is, how do we get there? And I think everyone wants to see a future for the livestock market because it's central to our cultural heritage and our identity. And its economic impact, both direct and indirect, is huge. It's critical to the market's survival that it moves out of Moulton town centre, because notice could be served at any time. And whilst this issue has actually been going on since, I think, the 1970s, time is completely of the essence, and so it's important we get move forward. I think in order to move forward, the first step is to identify how we can do that and what options are available. I think it's clear that the livestock market can only be relocated with the support of the council. But the question is, how can we do that whilst protecting the taxpayers' purse? After all, we are the custodians of the taxpayers' purse, and we have a moral and ethical responsibility to ensure that every penny piece that we spend is spent wisely and well. And I firmly believe that it could be viable for this council to invest in a solution that delivers a return to the taxpayer, but also delivers other benefits for this council, such as additional employment in the area and also additional income, such as business rates. And as Councillor Burr said, it becomes a catalyst for much wider development, because we know that a livestock market in isolation does not generate income, but it's those peripheral activities, those ancillary operations that absolutely do. And so the question that we're faced is not whether do we move forward with it, not whether it is viable at this time, but whether we wish to commission a study to investigate all potential options. And that is different from the proposal that we saw in July, because this is considering everything, including, as Councillor Gardner alluded to, hence the amendment, the potential that actually it's not right that we move forward. So this has been going on for so long now. This study will provide us with a definitive answer. And I think it is absolutely right we get that answer and then make an informed decision on how we proceed. We'll now move to the vote. Thank you.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 against.
Thank you. So that is carried. We'll now move on to the next agenda item, which is agenda item 23, the corporate peer challenge visit feedback report outlined on pages 47 to 78 on your agenda. The Chief Executive is going to take this item. So please can I ask Stacey to briefly introduce your report, please.
Thank you very much, Chair. You're asked to look at 3 recommendations tonight. The first one is for the committee to note the results of the peer review challenge revisit, and that review took place in April 2016, the results of which are attached at Appendix 1. The second recommendation is to note the key areas of development which were outlined by the lead peer reviewer. And those can be broadly outlined as being, first of all, valuing the workforce, second of all, strategic planning and delivery, and third, leadership. And those are outlined at 6.3 of the report. And the third thing that committee is asked to do tonight is to approve the initial set of proposals which are being undertaken to address the key areas of the report and the key areas of development. I'm happy to answer any technical questions.
Thank you. Do any questions wish to be asked through the chair? Councillor Duncan.
One question that was raised at Resources Working Party is kind of following through on the recommendations that we've had in the peer review and making sure that members and officers are making sure that we act on those as best as we can. My question, I suppose, is when will we hear updates, or how will we be involved with that process going forward to make sure that we do what we can to make those happen?
If I just answer that from a member perspective in terms of the timetable of meetings and member involvement, I stated that I have asked a follow-up report be brought forward to the Corporate Peer Challenge Improvement Working Party in January, which will take place after the Resources Working Party. So a meeting is already scheduled, and in that working party, members will be able to be given an update on progress to date, also challenge and scrutinise updates, and also where it's considered necessary and propose policies, which in turn can go through the committee structure. Any other questions? No, in which case, as chairman of this committee, I will move the officer recommendation, which is seconded by the vice chairman. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Burr.
Yes, thank you, Chairman. I do agree. I'm very happy that we move forward with this report. But I do want to say that I am saddened, very saddened, that with the T2020, the value of our team seemed to diminish, and we lost a huge amount of very talented, very good officers, which has been to the detriment of this council. And really, there was no need for that, because the budget was all wrong, the money was all wrong, and we needn't to have lost those really, really good people. We are now struggling, but happily we're moving forward and we're trying to pick up more people. So, all in all, it's a pretty sad state of affairs that, yes, the peer challenge came after the T2020, but it hasn't been a happy time for Rydale, and I'm so pleased that we're actually moving forward now and hopefully going to obviously do things better. I want to pick up on 6.7, and I think that this council does need to work collaboratively. I think it it does need to work. As I said, I've stated before about inviting people into the council and getting more collaboration. And I do think that there needs to be more collaboration of members and not maybe just certain particular parties taking overall governance. However, that's in the gift of the beholders, and let's hope that we will move forward with a new team and we'll have more collaborated working relationship.
Do any other members wish to speak? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I have two sort of emotional responses to this report. One is the hope that things are changing, but the other is the frustration that I've experienced over the years I've been on the council about the lack of transparency, a lack of members being encouraged to work with officers, a lack of strategic planning, and particularly the reference to members behaving badly in meetings, I think comes directly from the fact that things haven't been transparent. Responses, answers to questions, either written or spoken, have been, can I put it this way, in error. There's been a lack of engagement with ordinary councillors who have things to offer to this council. And I feel saddened that, like has been said already, that we've lost many officers, outsourced environmental health and other things, and slowly chopped away at the officer base. And we've got £12 million in the pot. It does not seem wise to me that we undermine our central delivery of services and then sit back and think, well, how can we take a punt on a cattle market or invest in a new hub with very little strategic delivery, very little member engagement? And even when I suggested that I would like to have some input into the current design of that hub, I've heard deafening silence.
Do any other members wish to speak? Okay, before we go to the vote, I just wish to respond to some of the points that have been made. So, firstly, Councillor Thornton, you said about transparency and openness, which is something I agree with, that this council, and I said this before, we're here to serve the public, and we should be open and transparent, we should welcome scrutiny and welcome challenge. I recall when I first assumed the position of Chair of Policy and Resources Committee, in the first few months, I remember finding out that we had decided to launch free car parking from a press release on the Council's website. No consultation with the Chair of P&R, yet alone a member. Not only a decision of the committee, but a decision of Council was not made on that. I recall this council being a signature to a devolution letter to the Minister of State, a highly political letter on which I was not consulted. No member was involved with that. I also recall finding out through a third party that the staff questionnaire, which triggered the bullying inquiry, had gone on the staff intranet. I was not told about that, and despite the fact it had been there for 4 months. I believe we are in a different situation now, and it is vital to the future of this council that there is a partnership between officers and members. Members need to be provided with the information to make informed decisions, and provided that we have the access to full information, we should also treat any advice that we are provided with respect. And whilst we should challenge, we should scrutinise, we should do that dignified at all times. I have a saying that officers advise, members decide, and that is paramount to our democracy, and that's the reason why we're all here, to contribute into our democracy and make informed decisions. And I truly believe we are moving towards that culture, but Rome wasn't built in a day. But I think that's been an improvement. Councillor Thornton, will allow you to...
Thank you. Sorry, I thought you'd finished.
So I was going to turn to Councillor Burr's point then, just about the T2020 programme. This council has had a reduction in budget. The revenue has the net budget has decreased quite drastically, and in order to survive, it's been necessary that we organise and work more efficiently and more productively. And that's been apparent, and I think, you know, particularly in the early days, there were some great successes. We achieved savings whilst actually not only continued to maintain services, but we actually expanded in some areas, and so that is to be welcomed. In terms of the T2020 programme, that has delivered significant savings, and whilst the budget surplus is welcome, £2 million, and actually many of those items are one-offs, still there is an element that relates to staffing costs. And I think we have a very dedicated workforce. I have the utmost respect for every officer who works for this organisation, and I'm saddened that we have lost some talented members of staff who had worked for Rydell for not only years, but in some cases many decades. I wish that they were still here. Unfortunately, the budget has not always allowed that, but equally, I think in terms of our budget monitoring, we need to be more open about that moving forward. And also, we need to be better at monitoring it real time so that if we do have one offs or actually there are underspends, we can respond to that to make sure that we have resourcing in certain areas. Okay, so I think that's a candid answer to the points you've raised, and you will see that in terms of some other items on the agenda this evening, we've got an update report on the budget so far this year. It's been briefed real-time to the Resources Working Party, and so that's part of the transparency and openness that we're now striving towards. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I think we've come from a place, and I hope we've moved on from that place, of a lack of openness and transparency and member involvement. I don't remember the detail of the appointment of the T2020 consultants. I think we spent something like £750,000 on them, and I don't think they have done a good job, much to the disappointment of those who are saying I don't think they are doing a good job. And then we bring in the property specialists who drive around Rydale and quite reasonably decide that a pair of shops in Norton wouldn't make a good site for a council office, but we've spent a considerable amount of money on them, and they are IEASY, a branch of IEASY, same lot. I don't think that when we had a chief executive, deputy chief executive, and a full senior management team, I can't see why we needed such a heavy investment in a management team who didn't know Rydell Council, and it maybe is that they were just brought in to cull the staff, but they've cut far too deep and left departments struggling to achieve survival, let alone delivery of services. And I think it's not only foolish but also unkind on the staff, and now we can say kind words of support for those lovely people who have left, but what a situation to find ourselves in, that we've culled the staff and actually we never needed to. And that to me shows a complete lack of strategic planning, a lack of listening to members who have been calling this out for some time, and a lack of transparency in the appointment of IEASY. I just feel it's lamentable. And I think this report, when you read it with that in mind, is an excoriating report on the delivery from the top and from the majority group who have pushed this thing through with a lack of transparency and ended up as a disaster. It was bad enough, the lack of transparency.
Councillor Burr.
Yeah, I think this is such an important decision. It does warrant debate, and it's such a shame that no one really wants to take responsibility for any of this. And at the end of the day, it's members, and whether you like it or not, it is the ruling group that actually wanted to do this, whether you smile or whether you like it or not. And we can not be political or we can be political, but when you hold chairs and when you hold the power, then you are supposed to know about the budget. You are supposed to look at the budget. You are supposed to know that we're not underspending. You are supposed to know that we actually put X number of pounds in, probably 50% over budget, that we needed to do. If you would have had all that information and really looked at it, when you said that we needed to cull the staff and get rid of our most valued members of staff, you would have actually realised that we did have enough money in the budget, but we've been allowed to think that we've had no money, so we had to do it. But what's now come to light is that actually all the figures were wrong, and we did have enough money in the budget. So, Councillor Ives, when you say about being prudent and looking at the taxpayers' money, it's actually cost us money, because now we're in a position where we haven't got enough staff, we're needing to recruit, and we're needing to go through all this again. So I do think that as members we have to take responsibility. It certainly was not our officers' will that they wanted to lose their jobs and they wanted to be demoted and their wages wanted to go down. I mean, that just wasn't the case. At the end of the day, members are the decision makers, and that decision was made in this council. So let's hope that we're moving forward. We're in a different era. We've got a new chief executive, and, you know, it might be a new council or whatever. Who knows what's going to happen for the future, but I do think the last 4 years has been a disaster, unfortunately.
Do any other members wish to speak? Councillor Val Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I just take note of what's been said already, and I'd just like to say that any decisions, which obviously some of them are right and obviously some of them are wrong, are made by 30 members of this council. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. This is going to come back to council. I could sent some political undertones of your latest speech there, Councillor Burr, so I'm sure we can discuss this further in council. So we're now going to proceed to the vote.
Sorry, Chair,
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, so we're now going to turn to agenda item 17, additional funding for Flood Risk Management Project Manager and RDC's Flood Grant Fund, which is outlined on the late papers. It is agenda item 17 on pages 19 to 26. Becky Bennett, you're the lead officer for this report, so would you like to briefly introduce it to members, please?
Thank you, Chair. This report is seeking a decision from members as to whether they wish to jointly fund a flood risk project manager post with the County Council on a 50-50 basis, and also to agree to topping up the current flood grant fund. So there are two recommendations. The first is to actually increase the budget. We currently have £12,000 in the budget for a project manager post, and it's to increase the funding by £13,000 to support a shared one-year fixed-term contract with the County Council. And then secondly, we also have a flood grant fund, and the balance in there is not sufficient to cover the potential applications that may be coming forward to this council. So the second recommendation is a further £20,000 funding to top up the reserve. I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Any questions? No, in which case, as chair of the committee, I'll move the recommendation, seconded by Councillor Arnold. Do members wish to speak on the item? Councillor Burr.
Chairman, and I do apologise. Maybe I should have declared an interest because I have been flooded, so I'm sorry about that, Chairman. First of all, this is an excellent report. Thank you very, very much. And I think it would be foolish of us not to actually move forward with this. For anyone that's been flooded or had any near misses or anything like that, it is really awful. And anything we can do to help residents, help businesses, because businesses get flooded as well, to not be flooded, I mean, that can only be of a huge benefit. So I think it's really, really good, and thank you for bringing it to us, Becky.
Councillor Arnold.
Chair, like Councillor Burr, I think we'd be foolish not to support this. I mean, I've never been flooded because I live 600 feet up. So. But our son's been flooded.
Yeah, I came.
Right up to his ceiling downstairs, so I know what it's like to be in a flooded house, as you do probably. So I think, yes, it's a must. We must do it and we must proceed with it.
Councillor Wigper.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, it's a no-brainer to support this. Thank you for this very well and thorough delivered report. We have to go do this. The impact on some of our residents is catastrophic. The inconvenience to a great deal number of others when flooding occurs is even more widely experienced. So we're not just doing those people who actually get water into their homes. We're getting people who can't get from A to B, and there's a lot more of those. I have been stranded before today from a home that I did have that was in a floodplain. I'm not much better off where I'm currently located, but I'm slightly higher up this time. But it's very welcome to have this report, Chairman.
Thank you. Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Although I think Yorkshire Water should be doing an awful lot of this, I don't see any likelihood of the success in that direction. And I think we should fund this project. And based on the fact that we are giving no end of consultancy grants out left, right and centre, and I think the issue of sewage in our gardens and our streets is of huge importance and shouldn't really be happening in the developed world. So, yes, let's see if we can't help with the flood problems in Rydal. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wish to speak? Okay, just very quickly from myself, I think this report demonstrates how the council can make a difference. Even in areas that are outside of our pure statutory responsibilities, we actually add value to the areas that we serve and we make a difference. And there's nothing that impacts on one's life greater than being flooded. I've not experienced it myself, but I cannot imagine the stress and distraught and destruction that is caused by that.
and I think it's important we do everything we possibly can to prevent flooding, but also when it does occur, to help those who have been affected. And I know, for example, even over the past year, there's been occasions when we've had red alerts and properties have been at risk, and it's always RDC staff who are out on the front line doing everything possible, providing the sandbags, providing the flood pumps, who go above and beyond every time. And I think it's always helpful when we have items like this to come forward, just to praise those efforts and also shout about what we do well as a council, because, you know, flooding and helping those in need of support is something we do very well every time. But obviously the priority should always be to prevent it in the first place. So we'll now move on to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So we'll now turn to the localisation of council tax support scheme. On outlined on pages 161 to 164 of your agenda papers. So I will ask our section 151 officer to briefly introduce the report, and then any questions may be asked through the chair.
Thank you, Chair, and I will be brief around this. This is a brief report, and it will be something that you'll see every year. It's something that we have to take a decision on around the level of council tax support. Very briefly, the work that has been undertaken is recommending at this stage no change. That's the first recommendation, no change for next year in terms of the level. But secondly, to authorise the finance manager, that's me essentially, and the chair of the committee to look at a scheme, to do a bit more work for the scheme for 2021. So that's essentially this report. Happy to take questions.
Thank you. Any questions? No, in which case I'll move as chair. Seconded by Councillor Arnold. Anyone wish to speak on this item? No, in which case let's move to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So I'm now going to turn to agenda item 19, introduction of civil penalty notices for all Housing Act offences, outlined on pages 165 to 198. Of your agenda papers. So would you like to briefly introduce the report, please?
Of course. Good evening, I'm Serena Williams, Senior Specialist. The report is primarily in respect of getting the council to implement new powers in relation to civil penalties. So the recommendations are to allow the councils to reduce the civil penalty is an alternative to actually doing prosecutions, and to allow for the council to fully implement the powers available. So really, what I'm asking you to consider for recommendation is consider the new powers in line with the guidance and approve the attached policies. Any questions?
Thank you. Any questions? Councillor Duncan?
Can I just ask, is this a similar process which other councils in North Yorkshire and elsewhere in the country are going through at the moment? Are they following the same path that we are following in the recommendations this evening?
Yes, they are. We've worked in consultation with the other authorities across Yorkshire and Humber to ensure that we have a consistent approach, so there is no cause for any sort of challenge.
Thank you. Any further questions? Okay, in which case, thanks very much indeed, Serena, for introducing that report and taking questions. So, as Chairman, I will move the Office of Recommendation, which is seconded by the Vice Chairman. Any questions? Okay, so just one thing for myself. I think this is a very positive report which has come forward, because there's nothing worse than rogue landlords, and
I know people who have been victims of landlords who have not always been, that, you know, for example, damp, not being able to address that. And so I think this is a positive step, and it hopefully, once again, will demonstrate how this council can make a positive impact on the people that we serve. So let's move to the vote, please.
And that's unanimous, Chairman.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, so the next item is agenda item 20, outlined on pages 199 to 202 of your agenda papers. So the Chief Executive is going to briefly introduce this report and take any questions you may have.
Thank you, Chair. Both the Electoral Registration Officer and the Deputy Electoral Registration Officer are appointments which need to be made by Council. And this report is recommending that we appoint the Democratic Services Manager as the Deputy Electoral Registration Officer. Thank you.
Any questions? No, in which case I'll move the recommendation as Chair, which is seconded by Councillor Arnold. The members may note that the Democratic Services Manager has left. I don't believe we'll have a long debate on this item at all, because it just makes absolute plain sense, and I think we all know the technical knowledge and expertise and efficiency that the Democratic Services Manager brings to this process, you know, it's absolutely vital that we commit and conduct elections in a compliant and legal manner, because that's why we're here, to represent the people who we serve, and we have to have legitimacy. And so if we don't hold elections, there's no point to any of this. So I fully endorse this recommendation. Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. I have the privilege of having kin in America, and their electoral system over there, where you get 150 people who are deceased taking part in the last vote for the House of Representatives, is 150 dead people voted in one particular state out of the 52. We don't experience such like the Americans do here, because we have a system that is a correct system to follow, and I see that we're following, as previous councillor, as previous chief exec and so forth, as returning officers and electoral overseers of the elections that we take place in. We need to have that comfort and security of knowledge that we're not having people who are not entitled to vote taking part in the vote, especially if they're deceased. In one case, would have been dead 150 years. Just for your information, Chairman. It's to one side and surplus to requirements in a sense, but other places do experience huge fraud in electoral services.
Thank you. I know this is quite topical at the moment, especially with the alleged hacking of the American election. Councillor Burr.
Well, moving from America to here, to good old Rydell, I would just like to say that it's really a privilege to actually watch our Simon in action, because he's absolutely brilliant at what he does. And I tell you what, he takes it so seriously. He's so diligent. He really doesn't like any praise, but we are so lucky to have him. So I think that when our chief executive, you know, isn't about, or she can have good faith in Simon that he will do a really good job. So that's really good news for Rydell. I think it's a good move.
Thank you. We'll move to the vote, please.
That's unanimous, Chairman.
Thank you. So if you just alert Simon that we've taken the vote and then he can come back into the room. Okay, so we'll now turn to agenda item 11, proposed increase in the number of Moulton Town Councillors outlined on pages 31 to 44 of your agenda papers. The Council Solicitor will briefly introduce this item and take any questions that members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Members have before them a detailed report relating to their request from Moulton Town Council to increase the number of town councillors from 10 to 12. Members will see from the report that the relevant piece of legislation is the Local Government and Public Involvement in Health Act 2007, which actually prescribes, in these circumstances, a procedure which the council is legally obliged to follow. And basically, that's a threefold procedure. The first step is to agree the terms of reference. Secondly, to publish and go out to consultation on that. And then finally, thirdly, taking into account representations received to agree the final recommendations. So against that background, Mr. Chairman, members are asked to approve the recommendations in paragraph 2 of the report. Thank you.
Thank you. One question which I have actually just relates to the consultation. How will that, what form will that take? Will it be an electronic consultation or will it be writing to every household asking them to respond as did happen in Norton?
Mr. Chairman, the intention is to utilise the council's website and other means of notification to invite the members of the public to make representations in this case.
Thank you. Any other questions? No. Councillor Duncan?
Can I just ask, once this consultation is concluded, and we've had the representations from various interested parties and the public as well, who will be making a final decision on whether the decision goes forward or not?
Mr. Chairman, the consultation responses will be considered. That will be enshrined in an officer report, and therefore it will come back to members for the final decision on whether or not to agree to the request from Moulton Town Council to increase the numbers of councillors. So that's very much in the hands of members. It's a member decision. It's, in point of fact, a council decision.
Councillor Vapor.
Is there any financial penalty towards this council in so doing? Is it just officer time?
Mr. Chairman, it's primarily officer time. And regrettably, there is no mechanism to recover the cost from the town councils or the parish councils that have requested this. So it's hoped to pay for the costs out of existing budgets.
Any further questions? No, in which case I'll move the officer recommendation, seconded by the Vice Chairman, Councillor Burr. As ward member, I'll come to you first.
Oh, thank you very much. That's very kind of you, Chairman. I have every respect for Moulton Town Council. It's obviously well known that we have had hundreds of new houses recently built in Moulton, so I think obviously that warrants probably the numbers going up. And I think really primarily it's anything to try and get people engaged with local democracy. You know, let's hope that if Moulton Town Council need two more councillors, then we will get two more people who want to be involved with that. that's entirely up to them. I don't think that they would have actually put this to us if they didn't feel that there was a real need and they wanted to engage more. So I have no problem with this whatsoever.
Thank you. Do any other members wish to speak on this item? Okay. Just one point which I wish to make. I do not believe it's a priority for members of the public at the moment to increase the number of councillors. I think we've got a lot of very important items that need to be considered, particularly in Moulton, but increasing the number of politicians is not one of them. And I will therefore look forward to receiving the response to the consultation with that in mind. Go to the vote.
I could just come back there. I think that because we've had such a new influx of houses in Moulton, I think it would open it to a wider member of the public. And we have had a lot of people come from outside Rydale who have moved into Moulton. And I think it's quite aspirational of the council to try and get new people and new ideas, and collaborative working is something that we should all aspire to instead of stifling. So I see it in a different way, and I just hope that that's going to be really, really good for Moulton to have more councillors. They don't get paid. They do it all voluntary. I go to not all, but some of their meetings, and, you know, they are very, very long meetings. They are dedicated. They are very concerned. It's non-political. And I just think that, you know, why not? If we can get more people involved and people want to put themselves forward, why shouldn't they be allowed to?
Okay. I understand that Moulton Town Council did not have an election last time. Just something to bear in mind, that we're appointing more councillors despite the fact there's not already been an election. We're going to move to the vote now, please.
Chairman, that's 9 votes for and 1 against.
Thank you. So we'll now turn to the Part B items, matters that will be referred to for Council. The first item is the Financial Strategy, Agenda Item 21, which is on the late papers. So Anton, as Section 151 Officer, would you please introduce this report, please?
Okay, thank you, Chair. And I think most members were at the Resources Working Party last week, where I went through a presentation, and largely the contents of that presentation are now within this written report. And I said at the time, and I said last week, and I'll repeat now, that this is very much a live document, in the sense that it will continue to grow. It will continue to be refined, and as we get more and more information, such as the funding levels through the settlement at the beginning of December, and so on. So, very, very briefly, this report consists of some quite technical information, and I'm sorry, that's the first bit you'll see. It's not the most exciting bit of information. But it's there, the first part, because, if you like, that's the part that we have. Although that, of course, is continually changing, and you'll be aware it's been quite an interesting day on the markets today, for example. Well, anyway, so that may still be subject to change in terms of assumptions about inflation, interest rates, and so on. What it also highlights is such things as some of the funding assumptions that we have, including gearing up to potential end of new homes bonus, the end of revenue support grant, the end of rural services delivery grant, and whatever else replaces that. And it starts to look at some of the funding pressures that we've identified and savings through some detailed work that we've been undertaking with budget managers over the last couple of months. So it's very much a position statement. It will continue to be added to, but I wanted to bring this to you to keep you informed of the process that we'll be going through, rather than you receiving it all in February as was one massive piece of information. It also talks about reserves, and those have been referred to tonight, and highlights that we will do some work on those and bring back some proposals around those over the next few weeks. That's essentially it, I think, at the moment, in terms of introducing the report. It is a live document. It will continue to develop.
Thank you, Councillor Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think your reports are really great. Thank you very much for supplying us with all this detail. A couple of questions, if I may ask, please. I hope I don't put you on the spot. I apologise if I do. It's not intentional. And I also, Chairman, may or should have declared an interest because I work with apprenticeships. Yeah. So 8.3, I'm quite worried that we are spending 10k on the new levy which the government introduced recently. Now, I would have hoped that we will have employed some apprentices, because obviously this is dead money at the moment, 10k. So I'm not sure if you have this information, but could you tell me if we have got any apprentices? Because obviously we're paying out 10k every single year. We have to do this. It's government. All businesses and authorities have to do this. So have we got any apprentices? Do you know, Anton, please?
My understanding is, unless someone shouts at me from the back seats, that we don't have any apprentices at the moment.
Okay, so that's interesting. I think as a council we need to think that we're actually basically throwing away 10k every single year. So that's something for us maybe to look at. In 8.1, it's really disappointing, and I know we fought really...
Sorry, just on that point, Councillor Burr, my understanding is that the levy money can be used for purposes other than just pure apprenticeships. It could be used for upskilling staff. So, for example, some existing staff could go on to an apprentice programme as well. So it's not just a case of new apprentices, it's also a case of potentially upskilling, which I think would be welcome as well.
It would be welcome, but apprenticeships is the main feature, and this council has none. So what we need to do is look at 8.1, and as I know, we fought really hard against North York County Council regarding the reduction in the green waste recycling. And do you think that there's going to be any movement because we're actually going to lose 90,000 to North York County Council? Is this something that will change, or is this a one-off? Or is this every year that we're going to have to pay 90k to North York County Council?
We've put that in as a recurring pressure because of the way the county is changing the way the recycling credits. But my understanding is it will be a recurring pressure.
Thank you very much. And also, if I could just ask a question, it hasn't got. It's above 7.36. It hasn't got a number to it, Anton. Restructure reserves. We were told that we would need 402,000 that would be associated to restructure the council. And is this because we've underspent, or is this why have we got 402,000 in a restructure and reserve budget, please?
I think that probably illustrates the need for the review of the reserves. A lot of these are historic. Money would have been put aside at one point for a specific purpose. What I don't know is how much that was in the past and how much has been used, but we can look into that. But
thank you.
We need to review.
Thank you. I mean, hopefully we won't be having any more redundancies, so the quicker we can get this moved out from this reserve and back over, then that would be really helpful. I've got no more questions. Thank you, Chairman.
Any other questions? No, in which case I'll move the recommendation, which is seconded by the Vice Chairman. Do members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Burr.
Thank you very much, Chairman. I think that the report is really good. It's really transparent. It makes someone like me, who hasn't, like you, got qualifications in accountancy, it makes it so easy for me to read and to understand. And whilst it's really, really great that we've got all this money, it has brought to light that we have got money in places that we don't need money in places, and we've got money in certain places that actually are in the wrong places. So it'll be nice when Anton gets a really good grip of this and we can move money around. So that's all I need to say. Thank you.
Councillor Vapor.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I agree on the headings that we've got. The description of what the sum is for, the sum that it is, and then an explanation about that sum, which is a little bit better in a sense than having a spreadsheet with the headings on and just the numbers going across of projected, past, and looking forward to what we might need to be. The explanation helps a great deal when it isn't second nature to you with a spreadsheet on finances. Keep that one up, please, Anton. It's brilliant in that respect. Other than that, it's looking pretty healthy, too healthy in a sense, and that becoming in itself problematic. So we have some juggling to do, and again, like any good juggler, you're not supposed to drop what you're juggling.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this report. Another excellent piece of work. I would only say to you what I've said to previous finance officers, that if you find yourself with a need for support in production of financial strategy and advice and whatever, please will you come to members or to the Chief Executive and ask for that help so we can continue to have appropriately excellent reports to help us make decisions. Thank you.
Yeah, just to mention that in the extra meeting we're having in 2 weeks' time, because of the live nature of this document, I'll bring a further update to that. So there'll be a few more figures we think added in there. But I'm going to try and use every opportunity I can to keep you updated.
So we've got a meeting in only a matter of weeks, and already we're having another report jammed in. So I think it just goes back to that transparency and openness culture that we wish to create and instill. Okay, any other questions? Sorry, any other items for debate? No, in which case, let's vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So we've looked at the budget and the finances moving ahead. Now we're going to look at the finances in the present. So if you turn to agenda item 22, revenue budget monitoring, which is contained on the late papers. The purpose of this report is to make sure that members are well briefed throughout the year in terms of the current project position and what that means in terms of what it may be moving forward, going back to that transparency and the need for information. So Anton, over to you, please.
Thank you, and firstly, start off with an apology. This is down correctly in the agenda as a Part B item, but you'll see that it's found its way via me on a party heading, but it is Part B item, just to confirm that. And I have been soundly told off by Jane for doing that, so as you can imagine. Yes. So this will also go to full council, and therefore all members will be able to see this. And I've said in previous meetings and budget briefings that the intention is to provide quarterly budget monitoring reports, telling you what our estimate is for the current financial year. This is essentially saying at this stage, and this is the first one we've done, so a little bit of caveat about it, but I'm confident about the figures, that at this stage we're looking at 1.1 million underspend in the revenue service budget. That's split between just over 500,000 to do with additional business rates collected above the budgeted level, and also underspends within the services. There is some explanation of that in terms of the areas where the main underspends are. In terms of one particular aspect I'll hone in on, in terms of salaries, it's probably not as high an underspend as I might expect. We did use quite a bit of agency staff over the summer. That will drop out as we've started to employ people on contracts, and therefore you my gut feeling is you might see that starting to increase a little bit there. But be grateful for your views both on the content and also on the format of this and going forward. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before I come to questions, I wish to thank you, Anton, for producing this report in the new format, which I think is welcome. It provides information in a easy to understand format, and rather than loads of graphs or big tables, it just puts it in writing once again in layman's terms, so you can get to the key points of information that we need. And so that's welcome. It's also been welcomed by the Resources Working Party, who are closely looking at this information. And one potential thing that we've requested in the future is that the financial monitoring information, in terms of some of the graphs, are incorporated into this, so you get the visuals and the explanation together rather than it being separate. And I think it's been noted that before we did have quite a lot of visual information, but we didn't have any visual information on the absolute main thing, which was the current year spend. You had it broken down by wages, interest, staff costs, etc., but not that overall budget. But once again, thank you, Anton, and I think members very much appreciate the approach which you are bringing to this committee. Questions? Councillor Burr?
Thank you very much. At the beginning of your report, Anton, that does say 1,140,000, doesn't it? I know that is a huge amount of money. Are you expecting to put that in different places, or what are your plans to do with that huge amount of money?
The first thing to say, it's not really up to me. It's not my plans. So I will report to you what the underspend is. What you decide to do with it is up to you, really. So I'll make recommendations.
Yeah.
Sure. But at this stage, I'm assuming it will go into reserve.
I don't think my question was actually specific, and I do apologise for that. I suppose I was meaning, is it going in, thank you, whoever said, is it going into reserves, or what are we doing with it?
It would do, yes. Any underspend would naturally, automatically go into reserve.
Yeah.
Unless you decided to give it away to anyone.
Yeah, or build some houses. Yeah.
So, okay. Ed, I don't know if you're asking a question or when Anton said, unless you give it away to anyone, your hand went up waving. So whilst you're a member of the committee, I will allow you to ask a question.
Thank you. My bank account details are full. My question was, if it goes into reserves, does that make it capital reserves, or is it available for revenue in the future?
It's available both for revenue and capital spending.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I noted from previous reports that the amount for staff training and staff development had fallen to zero. Are we able to put significant resource into the staff to make sure that they have adequate and perhaps more than adequate training and development in the near future?
I think probably two sides to that. Stacey, do you want to? Are you signalling to speak?
Stacey, can you just stay that again on the microphone for the recording, please?
Just saying that some of that budget is now spent, it just hasn't hit the ledger yet.
Any further questions, Councillor Vapor?
Yeah, it's a substantial sum that's in reserves. It's gone into reserves. How do we invest that to give us a return? Is it just into bank accounts, or are we putting it in towards a stock market, or what? Is there any specifics you can give us on that that don't compromise your position?
Yes, and in fact, next week at Scrutiny Committee, we've got a couple of reports on Treasury management where we are looking specifically about the... how we invest the money and to get the best result, and proposing to look at that in future. But we do we do invest it rather than just put it in the bank.
Yeah, and just to confirm, Anton, any changes to our investment policy, which at the moment is very prudent and very safe, if we wish to be more aggressive in that to try to yield greater returns but at a greater risk, that would come through to the Policy and Resources Committee, then on to Council. Councillor Thorne.
Sorry to be dense, but did I get an answer to the question about staff training and development? The budget was spent, or the budget?
We are spending the budget, and we will spend the budget.
Perhaps I can expand on that a bit more, which Stacey probably wouldn't do, but I know that within 2 weeks of Stacey assuming the position, she found out that the training budget had been moved, and I think it's £40,000. It was taken out of the budget. Stacey found out about it and immediately reinserted it, and I believe it's now under your direct control. So, yeah, I think Stacey, I can say that Stacey probably wouldn't, but it just emphasises how important training is, and I absolutely back Stacey up, and I think we all do, that actually, staff are the most important asset we've got, and whilst we've got staff with a lot of expertise, high skill set, naturally anything we can do to invest and further those talents and skills, we should be doing. Councillor Thornton.
Sorry, does that mean to say that there'd been a period when there was no staff training budget and no staff training and development?
There's always been the budget. It was not spent last year. Councillor Vapor.
Yeah. Can we revisit apprenticeships again, please? Because we had apprenticeships here a number of years ago now. We had some young people coming through and learning the ropes straight out of school. They were not wanting to go into further education on a couple of them. We trained them up in various departments, and they moved on and have done themselves credit and us as a result. I think, can we revisit that as to the potential for young people to develop, self-development is fantastic, and not everybody are academic and practical skills. We can't afford to lose them, Chairman. They are valuable. If we can revisit that one, I'd be very, very grateful.
So I know this council made a policy decision, which is the preserve of members, a few years ago to invest in apprenticeships, and we set aside a specific budget to do that. I would be open for us to do that again, but in terms of the organisation day to day and using the existing budget that's already there, I don't know if Stacey's got anything to add.
I think we need to look at the whole area of apprenticeships, including graduate apprenticeships, because it is necessary for us to really look at capacity issues across the organisation, and particularly in specialist areas, so we need to grow our own.
Okay, I mean, I'll probably take this offline, but at the moment, I'm of the view that I'm going to request a specific paper to come forward on apprenticeships, including internal investment and perhaps external investment, because the number one aim of this council for a long time has been to create the conditions for economic success. We've had some very successful apprenticeship schemes in the past, and I agree, Councillor Ripper, we long may they continue. Councillor Gardner.
Just a quick observation on your point about apprenticeships and those that are don't feel academic and want to go to university. I ought to stress that I think many apprenticeships are highly intelligent and can do a lot of academic work, but they choose to go down the practical line, and you can learn so much from doing something practically rather than seeing a process on a screen. And I think even Dr. Thornton would know that his first 3 years he probably learnt a lot of the minutiae of anatomy and physiology, but the clinical years is where you really cram it in, and that really is like an apprenticeship.
Councillor Thornton, do you wish to respond to that?
Named, medicine is taught by the see one, do one, teach one process, and so you do get a lot of, well, a brief apprenticeship and then you become a teacher.
Yes, just to confirm, we are still in questions, technically, although I think I'm going to move the recommendation now, to because we have almost blended into debate, which has been seconded by the Vice-Chairman, Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I'm glad that the juices are now going, since I've talked about the levy and apprentices and getting some apprentices back. So that's absolutely fantastic that we are talking about apprentices. And I do have to agree with Councillor, and I really apologise. Well, I don't apologise, Councillor Raper, but please, please don't say that apprentices are not academic. A lot of apprentices choose to do an apprenticeship because it's actually learning on the job and being paid while they learn, and a lot of them are highly academic and go on to teaching and go on to degrees. I was privileged to be an apprentice, and that's what I did, and I think that it's disrespectful to always think that the apprenticeships are actually lower than a degree, because quite a lot of people do an apprenticeship and then move on to a degree and then become tutors. And I do think, when I was staff champion, I can remember having regular briefings and talking about this organisation. And when we looked at our numbers and we looked at the actual age of what the actual workforce was, it was quite apparent that we needed to, as Stacey said quite rightly, grow our own. And unfortunately, that just hasn't been a priority at all. So I'm absolutely delighted that tonight we've actually started talking again about apprenticeships, and I would like to see the 10k of the levy meaningfully spent with a view to taking on probably 10 apprentices within this organisation, and hire apprentices. You know, let's not be, you know, be foolish, because somebody might want to do a level 2 apprenticeship or a level 3, but they might want to do a higher apprenticeship. So I think really now the genie's again out of the bottle, and really great that we're talking about growing our own and investing in some more apprentices. So I'm delighted.
Just on that point, it's a bit like me too. So I'm an apprentice, and I, you know, when you talk about academic, not technically no. So when I was at sixth form, all I ever had in my year was university, university, university. Especially when you, you know, you get certain grades, all teachers talk about you is uni, and that was always an expectation of me, and it's an expectation of that I had of myself. I entered the workplace for 1 year, taking a year out, joined an organisation with five people, and today I'm in a part of an organisation with over 320 people. So do not tell me that apprentices, like you said, Councillor, but a non-academic, so actually don't make a difference, because I believe that apprentices are the lifeblood of the economy, and I'm sure that you also agree with that, Councillor Raper. In fact, I think there's a common consensus for that. So, like I said, I've requested the apprenticeship paper coming forward. We will review that, we'll debate on it, and we've previously had some policies that have come forward that have had much success. So I don't know if you've got anything else to add on apprenticeships, because just to remind members, we are actually on the financial monitoring paper. Councillor Raper, is it apprentices, or do you want to come back to the
It's just a little paper. Bit of a tag on. First of all, my apologies if I gave that impression. But some people themselves feel inadequate to go put themselves forward through academia to gain a degree. I'm time served in my profession from age of 14. Never mind leaving school. I started and left school when I was 14. You still could in those days. 1964. It is a brilliant thing to do. It suits some people more than us. And there's another added financial kickback as well. That if you go and work and take on learning at the same time, you end up with a lower bill to pay back at the end of the day. And is reported only on one particular medium that I'm involved with on LinkedIn, a young lady on there who's got a second on her degree. So it's not as if first, she's got a second. And she's only got 1 year to pay back on what she owes for fees. So it is a reasonable course to go through. It's not to be sniffed at, where you're learning and you're earning, and your bill at the end of the day isn't as great as what it could be. It isn't in the 30s of the thousands, it's in a couple of 3,000s. So, going on to this budget that we're looking at, I can't find anything in there that I can fault. But then again, I'm not a mathematician.
Anything else? Let's go to the vote. Simon Copley to the top table, please. One moment, please.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, so turning to agenda item 24, timetable of meetings 2019-2020, outlined on pages 203-206 of your agenda papers. I'll ask the Democratic Services Manager and also now Deputy Electoral Registration Officer to introduce the report.
Thank you, Chairman. Just a very brief introduction. The proposed timetable for next year is attached to the report, and it's based on the pattern of meetings we've followed this year. We've already consulted with Planning Committee and Overview and Scrutiny Committee, and one small change has been incorporated as a result of Planning Committee's comments.
Any questions? Councillor Burke?
The original draft had a meeting of Planning Committee on Bonfire Night, and members decided they'd rather be doing something else other than being in committee on Bonfire Night, so we moved the date.
Oh, well done.
Councillor Clark, whilst you're not on the committee, I understand this item also relates to the Scrutiny Committee, so if you've got a question...
Thank you, Chair. Well, Scrutiny managed to meet on Bonfire Night with not too many hazards. The July meetings of Policy and Overview and Scrutiny, we didn't spot, probably ought to be reversed, because at the moment we've got Scrutiny followed by P&R, and the normal way of doing it is P&R followed by Scrutiny, otherwise you can create two more meetings if you do it that way, because call-ins and everything else have got to be done within 10 days, which means you have to have a special meeting of scrutiny, etc.
Just to answer that, Chairman, I'm sure Anton will confirm. I think that's to do with the statement of accounts, and it has to go to Overview and Scrutiny Committee with its audit hat on first, and then on to P&R for sign-off.
Okay, unless there's any other questions, I will move as Chair, seconded by the Vice-Chair. Any comments?
Yes.
Yes, Steve.
Thank you. All I would like to say is that some of us aren't really bothered, being as we've been deselected by our local party.
Any other comments? Okay, in which case, let's move to the vote, please.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 2 abstentions.
Okay. Now let's turn to agenda item 10, terms of reference for working parties and subcommittees, outlined on pages 15 to 30 of your agenda papers. Simon, I believe you're taking this one. Can you briefly introduce the report, please?
Thank you, Chairman. This report came out of a request made by the Overview and Scrutiny Committee at their meeting in October, and they asked for some terms of reference to be drafted for Resources Working Party for P&R to consider. In taking that request forward, I thought to be consistent we should have draft terms of reference for all working parties of P&R to look at, and those are attached to the report. And also took the opportunity to address an issue that had been previously identified, whereby there were two slightly different meetings, both of which dealt with senior management staffing issues. One was the senior management contracts working party, one was the appointment subcommittee, and having two bodies that did similar things but not quite the same was potentially difficult and confusing, so we thought to amalgamate those into to one body might be helpful. So that's the proposals put forward for members to debate. There had been a comment earlier about Part A and Part B items. Normally, Policy and Resources Committee would deal with matters relating to its own subcommittees and working parties itself. But as the chairman did say at the start of the meeting, any committee can refer any item of business it wishes to council. So again, it's up to members how to proceed.
Any questions, Councillor Burr? Sorry, Councillor Duncan.
The proposal to create the subcommittee, can I ask which committee will be a subcommittee of? Presumably this one. And in that case, is membership restricted to members of this committee on that subcommittee?
It would be a subcommittee of PNR, and membership isn't restricted to just membership of this committee.
Councillor Andrews.
It's not actually a question for the chair as such, it's a question for the committee. And I just wondered if they would consider that this agenda item be a Part B item, that the terms of reference for working party should go to full council. I think some of these items are more important than PNR, although PNR is a very important committee. For example, the constitution is paramount, and I think it's the whole council needs to look at that. And I'm not aware, and I could be wrong, but in the last 18 months, you've been chair of PNR and the Constitution Working Party, and as I'm not aware of the Constitution Working Party ever meeting in these last 18 months. I just...
Every scheduled meeting of the Constitution Working Party has been held.
Ooh. Ooh. And how many have been scheduled?
I think, Chair, you might become a Brexit negotiator at this rate.
Councillor Duncan.
Just while we mentioned about the Constitution Working Party, is that a subcommittee of a committee, or is that a standalone?
It's a working party of this committee, so let's say if it came to any recommendations, they would come to this committee, because it's not decision-making. Working parties don't make decisions, and indeed a lot of the items that the Constitution Working Party deals with would actually need to go through to full council anyway. So the standard process would be working party meet, recommendations would come to this committee, and then this committee would make a formal recommendation onto council.
I'm just thinking, if we're amalgamating the two committees, which I think and making similar, involved with similar kind of areas, that if the Constitution Working Party is standalone by itself, some of the things which these committees might discuss, it might be relevant perhaps to amalgamate the Constitution Working Party as well into a subcommittee which would deal with those similar items.
I think the reason why the Constitution Working Party is not a subcommittee is that any decisions it makes needs to go on to council ordinarily. Now, the difference between working party and subcommittee is that the subcommittee can make decisions within its remit, whereas a working party is not a decision-making body. Also, the membership of the Constitution Working Party is quite unique in that it is the group leaders, plus the chairman of council, and there's also one oddity with one name member on there. Now, the reason for that is because when you deal with the constitution, it's quite profound to the ways of working of this council, and therefore the idea is you have that cross-party representation, and it goes through that procedure. That's why it's a different makeup and composition to some of the other working parties. Councillor Thornton.
And that then goes to full council for further discussion.
under our constitution, any amendments to the constitution ordinarily would go to, well, if they originate from the working party, would come to this committee. This committee would then recommend to full council. It would go on the full council agenda. It would be moved, seconded, but then stand adjourned to the following meeting of council for before council would make a decision. So there's just an extra safeguard there when it comes to amendments to the constitution, and it is most definitely a decision of full council, hence, and it's also got that special protection as well of requiring an adjournment. Councillor Burr?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. I think that that's actually a valid way of how to run our business, really, and I think it is cross-party, and I think that that's the way how that particular working party should stand. So, just going back, we haven't had a meeting, obviously. Councillor Andrews has brought that up. Is there any reason for why we haven't had a meeting?
There's no item being scheduled, so if there's no meeting being scheduled, of course I could schedule one as the chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee, but given that it has got some deferred business from its last meeting, of which I think we spent a couple of hours discussing proposed amendments to the Constitution, which ended up going nowhere. There is also a report relating to the start time of meetings, which we've discussed extensively before, and my personal opinion is that this Council has got far better things to be discussing than changes to constitutions or changes to start time of meeting. And, like I said, we need to represent the people, and I don't think the people are bothered about stuff like that. Councillor Burr?
Thank you, Councillor Ives. So we've agreed twice tonight. That's unusual, isn't it? But going back to actually what Councillor Andrews has said, I do agree with her that should go to full council. So I know you asked the question, and you asked the question to us, but I do agree with you.
Councillor Thornton?
Thank you. I mean, I don't agree with the change to start times, but it has been referred to the Constitutional Working Party, and therefore the Constitutional Working Party should consider it, even if it's very briefly. We can't have this "I decided that" approach to what is discussed by the Council, surely.
Councillor Duncan.
Can I just clarify, is Councillor Andrews or Councillor Thornton moving an amendment to the recommendation?
We've not even moved the substantive recommendation yet. Okay, I move the recommendation. That's seconded by the Vice Chairman. Councillor Andrews, do you wish to move your amendment?
Yes, I haven't actually written anything out. but just.
Simply refer to council.
Yes, I think all this should be part being referred to council.
Okay, is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Thornton. Councillor Andrews, I know you've spoken on this partly during your question. I was quite generous in categorising that as a question. I probably won't be so lenient next time, but do you wish to speak again on this item?
Thank you. Yes, I think we've already sort of, it wasn't necessarily questions, it was discussed. I know that from personal experience, one thing that came to PNR, the requested consultation on changing for elections to town and parishes, what happened to that consultation?
So you're asking the question now?
No, yes, I am.
I will respond to that because we did deal with it at the time.
Yes,
that was
I
a
know.
Recommendation, and perhaps it may. I can fully answer that question now if you like, because that was dealt with as a recommendation from the working party. So when we received the minutes, we were actually accepting those recommendations. Mm. I know we had much discussion at the time, and I stated that if members wish it to amend those recommendations or vote them down, that it would come forward. Those minutes were accepted. I have decided to change our approach in terms of dealing with minutes of working parties, because I think quite often it's confusing, and I also don't think it's right that often we are voting on perhaps several recommendations, because it's like, then what do you speak on? If there are any recommendations from a working party in the future that require a decision of this committee, they will come forward as a separate item, and I am going to do away with the minutes coming forward, which is effectively is voting then on the recommendations, because I don't think it works. And of course, minutes of those working parties will be provided to members in the future just by email as a point of information, but I'd expect most members of Policy and Resources Committee to be attending the Resources Working Party anyway.
Yeah, that's another question. I think I'm not... Well, not questions, but I the Resources Working Party, I think, is made up of more or less most of PNR, except me, I think.
Yes.
So I am feeling a little slightly...
Although, what I'm clear about is all members of the Policy and Resources Committee are welcomed and encouraged to attend meetings of the working party. Indeed, when we met last week, I invited all members of council because there are items of specific interest to everyone. And whilst not everyone could vote to say that we've received or noted something, actually, I treated all members effectively as members of that working party, and it goes back to that transparency and information.
Sorry.
No, you go ahead.
Yeah. So I'm not selling this very well to the rest of the committee. But I do think, for example, I had some notes written down. The senior management contracts subcommittee. Yeah. I think this is something that must be approved by full council, and so it does need to go there. And I just think the whole thing should go to full council. And if somebody's got a good idea, can they please sell it better than I am, please?
Thank you, Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I mean, I think this is much more a work in progress and probably needs to be fleshed out a bit. The tremendous power to Policy and Resources. The size and membership is determined by Policy and Resources Committee, is giving an awful lot of power and doesn't necessarily end up reflecting democracy. There's no sort of steer on how often meetings should be or whether meetings should report to full council. I think, personally, the Resources Working Party is a very useful group talking about the issues that are coming to Policy and Resource. And I don't see why one person should be not allowed to go along and vote and be part or discuss things in the same way that other members on this committee can do so. And it's all very well saying that you can attend... But I think, was it in the last meeting you said, well, you're not on this working party, so you're limited in your contribution. And that seems to be unfortunate. It won't be on the tape because it's not taped. But
I'm going to have to interject there. Anyone who wished to speak at that working party was allowed to speak and freely contributed. The only element, which is part of the constitution, is that when it came to the vote, I said only those members of the working party who are on that working party may vote.
I think, if my memory serves me right, you did limit contributions from the floor, if you like. And it is a useful and important debating, supportive meeting, and therefore I don't see why one member should be excluded, and I don't see why. If you would like to have Elizabeth Shields on as a regular member, then that's absolutely fine.
Mrs. Shields is a member of the Resources Working Party. She was put on there by this committee. Why are you raising her specifically? There's 10 members of that working party, and Mrs. Shields was appointed onto that working party by this committee, which you voted on.
I still don't see the justification for not having my colleague on.
So the point, it is 10 members, the working party. The 10 members of that working party were voted upon by this committee. And I cannot recall any amendment that came forward from yourself to change that membership at the time. If you wish to do that, there's an opportunity to do that at the annual meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee.
Or possibly as a part B to full council.
No, we're not changing the membership now, and the undertone of this is that what you effectively want to do is replace Mrs. Shields with yourself. That's why, so it's the same membership of this committee.
No, I don't do undertones. I'm just saying that I don't understand the justification. And as I say, if we wish to have Elizabeth Shields on, she's more than extremely welcome.
Just wanted to...
Councillor Duncan.
Just to comment on, obviously we're still talking about the amendment, but it does link in, I think, with the main recommendations in that there doesn't seem to be much clarity about the working parties of this committee and some of their remit. And it does mention in the recommendations about any new working parties, making sure they have written terms of reference. I don't know if it would be perhaps beneficial for all members of this committee if it was circulated exactly what committees that we've got and the remit that they have, such as the resources working party, how many people can be on it, who is supposed to be on it, is it supposed to be proportional? And that might answer some of the questions. On the issue of amalgamating these two committees, which we have before us, I suppose my comment on the amendment that you put forward is there a particular reason why it needs to go to full council to do that? I think I need an answer to that to be able to decide whether I should support the amendment or not. That will be my comment on the particular amendment that you put forward.
Okay, I just wish to speak on this item myself, particularly in terms of the amendment. So this council is delegated authority by full council. It has its own terms of reference that are outlined in the constitution. There are certain decisions that we are allowed to take ourselves, i.e. part A items, and then also there's decisions which we can review, make recommendations on that go to council. And actually, and the majority of cases, stuff goes to full council, and particularly all the important policy decisions or any investment decisions always go on to full council. When it comes to us having informal discussions at a level below that of the Policy and Resources Committee or having subcommittees, that is within the delegated authority of this committee. And I think that it's right that this committee takes the lead on its own governance and its own affairs, and it's been set a job to do by full council. And I don't believe, I think it's for us to decide how we composition ourselves, and it's not, for, you know, I don't, you know, as chair of policy and resources, I don't want to start going to the planning committee and saying, right, these are your subcommittees, I've got a view, because actually I think it's for the planning committee to decide that. Equally, with scrutiny, I don't understand getting involved in what working parties or subcommittees they have. I think it's for each committee to decide that. And by this going to full council, it's inviting other members from other committees to get involved in our affairs. I think we're good enough to do that ourselves as a policy and resources committee. Councillor, does anyone else wish to speak? Otherwise, then I'll come to you to round up as the move of the original amendment. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. I think that a paper to come round to explain would be quite helpful. I think it would be quite useful. And I can actually understand why the amendment has been put. I think, and I hope tonight we have sort of agreed that we are in changing times and collaboration is going to be much better and autocratic governance is going to stop. And I think it's just that for some members of the council, they feel that PNR has got too much autonomy and they feel that they are excluded. I don't take your point with planning, because I do actually think planning is completely different. I mean, I've just recently come on to PNR, and it is completely different to this committee. This committee, we are making many, many decisions that involve all councillors. And I do know that if you're not on this committee, you're quite excluded. and you do feel that, you know, you're not included. So I do actually understand why this has come. So I think it's a fresh time for a fresh look at what we're doing. And maybe to take it back to full council, we could actually, it may help you, Chairman, you could understand what the feelings are about the powers of this committee. And maybe moving forward, we could all work together and then talking about the inclusivity of members feeling that they want to actually get involved with things, but they, over the last 18 months or so, they haven't been included. I think that would actually help. So I understand where you're coming from. I don't think, and I don't know why a councillor's name has been mentioned tonight, who's on the committee. I think what it was about inclusivity. And I think that's really what the gist of this motion is. So I will support it. I hope it goes back, because I'm all about that. But I'm not sure. I think PNR has got too much power.
Councillor Val Arnold.
Just correct me if I'm wrong, which I probably am, Chairman. Don't most things go back to council anyway? That's my understanding. Not everything
that,
I know,
that is
but
correct.
Most things.
And there is also a call-in procedure as well. So there's a mechanism for decisions that, the few decisions that we do make ourselves, those can be called in and then referred to full council. Councillor Raper.
Yes, Chair. Thanks for allowing me to speak. I'll keep you a little while. We either have committees or we have full councils for every single meeting that we have, where everybody comes in and makes the decision. And then we have a full council every month and everything is discussed at one go, or we continue as we are. Everybody wants to be involved in making the decisions. They are when it comes to full council. If a committee makes a decision like we do and the recommendation from this committee go to full council, at full council, everybody gets the opportunity to speak. If they choose to come and listen in, they're quite welcome to. Same as the resource working party, everybody's invited. If they want to speak, you allow them to, as only the ones that are nominated to be on that committee have the voting right. And I think that's where people are coming to grief, is that everybody wants the voting right to attending those meetings. So we're either running by a committee system, which we are constituted to do legally, or we don't, and we go for a full council for every single meeting, for every single item that comes to us. And that's going to be far more expensive to the Rydale ratepayers than having committee meetings.
Anyone else wish to speak? No, it's Chris. Councillor Andrews, I'll come back to you.
Thank you. You mentioned earlier that you... Part B's always go... A lot of Part B's go to full council. Not all Part B's go.
Constitutionally, all Part B items do go to full council.
But there was a Part B item relating to Pickering several months ago that I wanted to speak on at full council. And because this group voted on it unanimously that they weren't going to put some money into Pickering for development of for land, for employment, it was just left at committee and it never came to full council. So Part B items don't necessarily always go to full council, Councillor Ives. And I just think some of these things need discussing at full council. I'd like to see this to go to full council and thrash it out at full council. Thank you.
I think we could discuss that particular one all day, because the decision was a Part A. If we had decided to go and spend loads of money, then it would be a Part B, but we'll leave that aside. Let's go to the vote, please. The amendment. So the amendment is that we refer this policy, this agenda paper, to full council. We're going to the vote. Thank you. We're going to the vote. Thank you. We're going to the vote, Council. Sorry. I came to you first of all. In the Constitution, the seconder has a right to speak once, and I came to you second. Okay? I came to Councillor Andrews last. We've debated this extensively. I've been very generous tonight. We're going to the vote.
Chairman, that's 3 votes for the amendment and 7 against.
Thank you. So that is refused. Do any other members wish to speak on this item? Councillor Duncan?
Yeah, there seems to be quite a lot of questions around the table about this. And I don't know if we would perhaps benefit from having some discussion outside of the formal committee meeting to make sure that everyone is comfortable with moving forward. It seems to be quite an important subcommittee. I've got some questions about it myself personally, and I don't know if that would be a logical way forward if other members were perhaps happy with that.
I'm happy for this to be taken offline. I'm happy for this to be referred to the Resources Working Party, which is an environment where I invite everyone to, and then it can come back to this committee to make a decision. Although just one thing to point out, we've already made the decision that this wouldn't be referred to full council, and so that decision stands now for 6 months, although there are other ways forward, which but we cannot retake votes again within a 6 month period. But I'm happy for this to go to Resources Working Party and for us to discuss in further detail if that's the wish of this committee. Councillor Burr.
Thank you, Chairman. Yes, I think that's a good idea. I think that in the spirit of trying to change and move on, I think to sort of dismiss a member and close it down and we can't speak about it anymore and I've made my decision, it's not helpful, because sometimes people feel that we need to discuss things. So if it's not obviously going to full council and it won't be discussed there, where will it be discussed? So it would be right and proper that we actually do it, because I've got some concerns as well. So I don't know where you're thinking, Chairman, that would be, or when that meeting would be, but I think I'd like to see that.
Councillor Vapor.
Yes, Chairman, if we're going to have this discussion, I would recommend that all members thoroughly read their constitution so they know where they are in a meeting and what they can do and what they can't do, because it's evident that a lot of our members haven't got a clue.
Okay, so is there an amendment to defer this at the moment? And deferral means that it could go back to Resources Working Party. Councillor Arnold?
I know I voted against it, but I can see your concerns, and I see both your concerns, and I do, and the concerns of most members, so I feel, yes, I think we ought to send it back, Resources Working Party. Let's have a proper discussion, but I don't think the decision should be made till after the next election.
Okay, so deferral has been moved and seconded. Let's go straight to the vote on that one.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
That's voting in favour of deferral. Okay, so that was moved as the amendment, and it's become the substantive. I aren't sure if we need to vote again, but just to make sure we cover everything. Councillor Thornton, before we go back to that amended recommendation, which is to defer it effectively, do you have anything to add?
They're all muddled now, you see. We're going to defer it. Is that in line with the Constitutional Working Party deferral of only be discussed when you have the mood to discuss it, or will that be discussed at the next working party?
It's the same principle for both the Constitution Working Party and the Resources Working Party. The item that has been deferred to the Constitution Party, I said I would take it at the next ordinary meeting of that Constitution Party, which I will. I said I will take this at the next meeting of the Resources Working Party. One is scheduled, so we'll deal with it then.
Thank you. It was just a suggestion from the Vice Chair that it should be introduced to the long grass after the election.
Okay, can we just vote on this revised recommendation, which is deferral item?
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So, turning to agenda item 12, delivering the council plan outlined on pages 45 to 56 of your agenda papers. I will ask the Chief Executive to briefly introduce this item and take any technical questions.
Thank you, Chair. Okay. Everybody okay? Yeah, okay. So this report is presented to committee. It is work in progress and under review at this time, and specifically that is to ensure for the next cycle of meetings we can actually take into account Council's decision in relation to red and amber reporting in the future. What I'd like to do is to highlight three issues for you. The narrative is actually in the report, but I think the issues are quite important. The first thing to do is to draw your attention to some indicators that if you look at the targets just now, they look like they're red and amber, but actually they will be green at the end of the year, or they're now green already. So, for example, that would be in relation to affordable homes, and that would also be in relation to planning appeals as well. The second issue to draw your attention to in relation to red and ambers is that on some targets, we're clearly not performing where we need to be. So actually what we've done as an officer group is begin to look at what we need to do to put that right. So, for example, in relation to planning searches, what we've done is we've actually had recruitment of staff, and we can already see that actually that is providing some traction, but we need to make sure that's sustainable into the future. What we're also doing is looking at creating a team around FOIs and complaints so we can begin to do that at a higher level in the future as well. And the third issue I'd like to draw your attention to are some indicators where we need to relook at the targets. So one of those areas is homelessness, for example, because there has been a change in legislation, and what that means is actually the target is you're not going to be able to compare things in the same way that you used to be able to, so we need to relook at that target now. The other key area that I draw your attention to is in relation to the target which talks about universal credit as well, and there's a need to relook at how we have that target actually scoped out in the future and the target that's put against it. Thank you.
Thank you. Just before we come to questions, just one question for myself, and it relates to FOI requests. So we're currently below the target, but I note that you said that you're creating a specialist and complaints and FOI team. Do you expect that will lead to an increase in response rate so we hit the target?
That's the intention to do so.
Thank you. Questions for anyone else? Councillor Rafer?
Yeah, on the targets themselves, the way that they're set, the process, there must be a regime that you use and a protocol to arrive at those particular targets at the actual number. Are they fit for purpose in every single case that we're using a target for?
No. they're not, and that's why we're reviewing all of the targets at this moment in time, to make sure that they are fit for purpose and the targets that have been set are right. If we are going to propose basically putting new targets in place, that's something that we would highlight to you, because of you've asked for that through the motion that went to council and the decision you made about actually we need that focus on ambers and reds.
A supplementary. Can we be kept abreast of how we come to these figures? The methodology used, it would be useful for some of us to know how you arrive at these particular figures. Although I don't think we could probably add anything to it, it would be interesting for some of us to know exactly how you arrive at these particular figures.
Yes.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I was pleased to hear that you're going to have a look at council tax, universal credit, and I would hope that we can expand the view of the impact of introduction of universal credit and look at figures such as customer satisfaction, delay in receiving the appropriate payment, not the first payment, but the appropriate payment, the use of food banks, and other important indicators of hardship as a result of moving on to universal credit.
Does that say anything to us? Okay. Noted. Any other questions? Okay, in which case I'll move that we receive the report, seconded by the Vice Chairman. Anyone wish to speak on the substantive item? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman. Pleased to note that we're having an open branch look at these particular figures. They said a while since they were last done, quite a while, in fact. And I think it's incumbent on us to keep abreast of where we're at, and get a modern, up-to-date view of where we are and how we're achieving or not achieving. And we need that information to make our best practice choices. So I welcome this report.
Thank you. Any other members wish to speak? Nope. In which case, let's vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, thank you. So we're now going to turn to Rydal Housing Strategy Action Plan 2015 to 2021 annual review outlined on pages 57 to 88 of your agenda papers. Kim is going to briefly introduce this report and take any technical questions.
Thank you, Chair. I'm not very good at brief, but I'll have a go. So this isn't any policy change for members, this is just our annual review that I come with every year, so we try and inform members of what we've been doing to meet our targets within our strategy. So really the recommendation is the progress is noted by members. What I try to include each year for members to look at is the achievements that we achieved during that year. So this is 17-18 we're looking at. So we do list some of the achievements there because we don't get to see you at committees very often, so this gives us the opportunity to tell you what it is we've been doing within the department. I've also included some legislative changes during 17-18 and some additional changes in the annexes at the back, so that's information that members can look through. Up and coming challenges, changes to national planning policy framework, changes to the homeless prevention service that we work with Horton with. These changes were in consultation with North Yorkshire County Council on that. And no implications as such or additional funding as long as we retain what's in the current budgets. So I just recommend that the progress is noted. Any questions?
Councillor Burke.
First of all, thank you very, very much for this, Kim. It's absolutely mind-blowing, all this information that you've given us, but my question is, and I know that the team work so hard and they work so well and on the safeguarding board and everything else that you do, which is fantastic. Have you got a full complement of team now? Are we recruiting any more to help you with all the work that you do? Are you understaffed, or do you need more staff, or is it something that you're aspiring to? Because as a councillor, I think we want to make sure you keep up the good work and you keep doing all this good stuff that you're doing. But there's only so much so many people can do. And with the changing laws, the changing regulations and everything that's, you know, it's so important that we get it right. So if you allow me to ask that question for Kim.
So I think Kim can answer the question about if we're recruiting and... there's any vacancies, full complement, etc. In terms of the allocation of resources, I think that's a question best directed to the head of paid service.
We're not recruiting. We did recruit in the customer service department, so not our department, when legislation changed. So there was additional customer service officer was recruited because of the legislative changes. We've only been dealing with the new legislation now for 6 months, but it is very difficult for staff to try and work through it, and we're only 6 months in. So no, we're not currently recruiting. We're still trying to work through where is the pressure and where is that lack of capacity, and where could we improve it.
Thank you. At least it's an ongoing process that, and yeah, I totally understand, but your team are doing an amazing job.
Any further questions? Councillor Vapor.
No question, just a compliment. Well done. As usual, same out standard.
Anything else? Okay, which case to move the recommendation, seconded by the Vice Chairman. Anyone wish to debate the content? Councillor Gardner.
Not a debate, but it's not a question, so I want to say it now. Following up for compliments that have been made, I do like the clarity in this writing. It's simple and there's no buzzword bingo to be played. Many compliments.
Councillor Arnold.
I just want to say thanks to Kim. Another great report, as normal, is what we expect from Kim and her staff. And I do attend some of Kim's meetings. And she's a wonderful chairman as well. That's all I want to say.
Thank you, Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I can just echo those comments about the excellence of the service, excellence of the report. I wasn't able to spot anything about refugees, and I wondered if we'd had any work on provision for refugees in Rydell, and if we had any update on when that was likely to happen, if it does. It's perhaps for...
Yeah, it's refugees, not asylum seekers, because I know we had the report which was coming forward on asylum seekers before, and that got withdrawn. So is it refugees?
I remember the asylum seekers. Yeah. But are we homeless people travelling to our country, perhaps put it like that.
I think members are aware that we have done a Syrian refugee programme, and we've housed 16 refugees that have now been in their accommodation for approximately 18 months. We are now moving them onto their long-term, because that was temporary accommodation. We're now moving them into their long-term accommodation, and we have accommodation for 2 out of the 4. And then obviously we're trying to integrate them within the community because at the moment they're all housed together. With regards to asylum seekers, that was a report that was going to come to members, but that was we pulled that at the last minute because of the problems nationally with the asylum seeker contract, and we didn't think we were in a position as a council to actually decide whether we wanted to be part of that programme until it had been dealt with nationally.
Okay, anything else? Okay, let's go to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, great. So thanks very much indeed for that, Kim. You can see how members gave a lot of praise to that report, so thank you, and thanks to your team as well. I believe we've got you next for the Homeless Strategy Action Plan 2015 to 2020.
So again, Chair, this is our annual review. We're not changing any policy. The policy was agreed back in 2015. So this is a requirement of our Homeless Strategy Action Plan that we review it on an annual basis, and members note the progress that we've made against the objectives. We have done quite a few consultation events this time, which we've tried to feed into the strategy and will be part of it, the action plan for next year. We continue to take customer consultation on a regular basis, face-to-face and questionnaires after interviews we do with our clients. It is mentioned again about the Homeless Reduction Act. I think members will be aware it's biggest changes in homeless legislation in 40 years. And I think the difficulty that we are finding, as well as the changes in the legislation, we incorporated a new IT system at the same time, so we were able to go paperless, which is great within the office. But obviously that's proved quite difficult to do both at the same time, but it's a great system. But with that, the report writing, we found that we're having to look at what targets we'd had previously and what we used to provide to members, which was quite clear. Number of people applying as homeless, number of homeless preventions, but it can get extremely confusing now with the new legislation. So we are writing reports, so that's why the information in the council plan is not completed, because them reports haven't been completed yet. We have to provide a lot of information back to government on a quarterly basis, but if I brought that information to yourselves, it would be meaningless, because it doesn't really tell you. What you want to know is how many people have come, how many people have we prevented, how many people have we put in temporary accommodation, how long did they stay there, that kind of information. So that's what we're working on as quickly as possible, so members can then start reviewing our progress. No additional financial implications beyond our existing budget provision. So I apologise for the size of the document. It's extremely long, and what we've said we're going to do is review that for next year. It really doesn't need to be 60 pages long. But I want members to understand it's a working document for our department, and each officer actually takes the objectives, so they've got some ownership of it. So it's not a document that just sits on the shelf and then that gets moved across to people's appraisals and things. So that's why it seems it's a long document. But we are reviewing that. So I'd just like members to note the update on the action plan for 17-18. Thank you. Any questions?
Okay. Councillor Burr.
Thanks, Kim. Just a question. Have we got a hot spot of homelessness, or is it just generally across our area?
Market towns has always been, it tended when I did the analysis, when I had a system that was easier to get information out of, it would always be Norton, Pickering, Malton. And at the moment, we've only got data that's less than 6 months old, and whether we're able to actually search on parishes like we could previously, I'm not sure we will be able to, but just from the knowledge of people coming through the door, and we are dealing with our own homeless people. I cannot state that enough, that the people we actually deal with are actually from the Rydale area, but it tends to be a market town. So we do get people from the rural areas, but it tends to be in Norton, Pickering, Malton, probably similar to population maybe.
Yes.
And I just want to compliment the team, because I brought a young person into this building who was homeless, and the amount of support and effort that was put into actually trying to find that young person a home was unbelievable. And I just wondered, we set up an appointment, and I just wondered, this particular person who sees these people who are homeless, is that a full-time post or is that a part-time post, please?
I think since reorganisation, the ones that see people that come through the door, not within my team, they're customer service officers, and what we do as specialists is support them. So we're actually, we're there on duty, but we're supporting the customer services on a daily basis. It's very difficult subject area. The legislation is quite difficult to get your head around. So we're there to support them. And we have, there's a few customer service officers, and they cover housing benefits as well as housing inquiries. So we do have a duty system every day.
Ed. Sorry, Councillor Jarvis.
I'm just looking at the table for homeless statistics, 16, 17, 18, which is our page 90. That's probably not helpful for you. The advice inquiry reason, it's gone up from 17.5% to 21%, nearly 22% this year. Is that private housing? That's the first part of my question.
I think that's any accommodation currently unsuitable. And actually it could be unsuitable for a majority of reasons. It might not be big enough, it might not be affordable. There's various reasons, but the government, you've just got a drop-down menu, and actually it's just the accommodation's unsuitable. So it could be private, could be social housing.
Right. And then I noticed that the relationship breakdown's gone up from 14% to 19%, which looks remarkably similar sort of increase. So would you say that there's a correlation between the people that I've got? It might not be possible to answer this one, but do you see any correlation between the people that have got relationship breakdown and the social housing type problem?
No.
Right. Thank you.
Councillor Thornton.
Thank you. I do note that there's been a 20% increase in referrals, I think, and frequent mention of subsidy benefits and universal credit and things like that. Do you find that there are a lot of homeless problems coming because of transfer onto universal credit? Can you pick up on the pressures that this move to universal credit has brought in your referrals?
I think benefits of any kind and people's understanding of them has always been a reason why people come for housing advice. It's not necessarily why somebody would be homeless, because we hope we have enough advice in place to try and alleviate that. Obviously, universal credit is a DWP function. It's not a function of Rydale District Council. But where possible, we provide as much support. We send staff down to the job centre. All our staff are fully trained in universal credit. We work closely with our registered providers and private landlords to explain universal credit to them. We were one of the first areas to go live on universal credit, which actually has been quite good for us now, because we're experts on it, where other areas are just getting used to it. And a lot of the changes the government's made in the budget speech, in the previous budget, is actually where our problems were. So it's alleviated a lot of the problems. So they've listened to us, the changes have come. People will always have problems with benefits and the understanding of them. And I think it's just making sure we've got the people about to provide the advice. A reason for homelessness isn't because they're on universal credit or a benefit. It could be a reason for their arrears, and therefore that might be their lack of understanding, or they haven't applied for it, and then we would obviously put things in place to alleviate that.
Councillor Andrews.
You may not be able to answer this, but it's similar to what Councillor Ed mentioned. Do you find that you have less private landlords willing to rent to people? I know I've had a couple of estate agents phone me saying, did I know of any accommodation on Pickering East that was available to let, because they're finding it harder and harder to get private landlords to rent to, possibly due to the media and universal credits. Some may be sort of lies or just rumours. Could you answer that?
It's always been very difficult to get private landlords to take tenants on benefit. And with the introduction of universal credit, that's got more and more difficult. And it's why we have landlords forums, and we try and work as closely as we can, and we explain that we can do payment arrangements with landlords. And actually, if somebody's in receipt of a benefit, we've even got the credit union who come. So actually, people can get the benefit paid into a credit union account, which will pay their landlord before anything else. So there's all these things in place, and I think it's exactly what you say. It's that perception. It could be the media. And there's still landlords who say no DSS. Well, we haven't had DSS for quite a long time. And actually, people who are working, it's just as likely not to pay the rent than somebody who isn't. You could say it's guaranteed income, but that we do that as much as we can. But it's very difficult, because if people can't afford to buy a property in Rydale, they will rent. So actually, there is a lot of people out there who are wanting to rent, so therefore why rent your property out to somebody on universal credit when maybe you don't need to?
It's probably something you're doing already, but are the estate agents within the towns aware of what you do, or is it something that private landlords have to sign up to your newsletter and you do that through other means, or could these estate agents possibly link into Rydale and what they actually do? Because I think possibly some people might be interested if they knew what you did.
We invite all the estate agents and all the letting agents to our landlords forum and send them out information when it changes. We have got a specialist within the team who's been out to all the estate agents and the letting agents trying to sell an offer from the council. This is what we can do for you. We do have a lettings scheme. If you read from the strategy, we've had a letting scheme with Bulmers for over 10 years now. And it's trying to expand that with other letting agents within the area.
Councillor Raper.
Thank you, Chairman, but Councillor Andrews more or less covered the question I was going to pose about landlords and the difficulty in recruiting them.
Thank you. Any further questions? No, in which case I'll move the report as Chairman of the Committee, which is seconded by the Vice Chairman. Any comments? No, in which case let's move to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So we'll now turn to agenda item 15, update on increasing recycling, which is outlined on the late papers. Becky Bennett is the lead officer on this one, so she will briefly outline the paper details on pages 9 to 12 of your agenda papers and take questions of a technical nature.
Thank you, Chair. Since the motion was moved at Council on the 28th of June, this report is just an update to members on the work that's been happening since then. A number of key action points are included as an Appendix 2, which are all currently work in progress. One of the key things that we are waiting for is the new resources and waste strategy, which we're expecting from DEFRA by the end of this calendar year, and a timetable of the planned future reporting to elected members is also included within the report, which is really around the future decision making on this particular subject area. And I'm happy to take any questions. Thank you.
Any questions? No, in which case I'll move as chairman, seconded by the vice chairman. Any comments? Councillor Burr.
I'd like to thank Becky for all the work that she's doing. I know she's doing an enormous amount of work on this, and pleased that we're moving forward with our strategy. And she's given us a good list of key actions, which I think we would all agree with and wouldn't want to dispute any. But on on four, to review mini recycling centres and rebrand and refresh, I would actually like to talk a little bit on those, because what I'm hearing from people is that they don't actually particularly think that the council should be the be-all and end-all for recycling. And what they want to do is they want to do as much as they can for themselves. And what they would like to do is they would like to walk to our mini recycling centres, and they would like to do as much as they can. But some people don't have cars, and some people can't get up to North York County Council sites. So I think I don't think I need to say I'd like an amendment. I would just hopefully ask if it could be noted. To that we, as a council, we actually expand our mini recycling centres, because I think that often too many people go and it's full, and then, you know, there's piles of stuff. It happens in Norton all the time. I'm always there, and there's piles of things that people have placed, but there's nowhere to put it. So I think if we had a strategy of looking at this, expanding this, and that would actually encourage people to use them more, and then maybe we could add a few more different recycling areas rather than just stick to the proven few. So that's just my take on it. And as I say, I think people are just wanting to get involved and to recycle things that they can carry in a bag rather than getting in a car and going up to, say, up to Malton or down to Malton, or from Norton up to Malton, and polluting the air as we do it. So I think probably, Chairman, I don't need to have a motion for this, do I? It can just be noted, can't it, that that's what hopefully...
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
I don't know if there's a response to that as such.
Just a nod of a head was fine.
Once again, I'd be quite generous with that as a question.
Yeah, I just feel that, as I say, you know, our sites by North York County Council, you know, you go down and people are queued outside. So there's definitely a will. There's definitely a will and a want to do it. And if we as a council, I know that budgets are tight, et cetera, et cetera, but I do think we should look into putting some money into expanding our little recycling centres in the whole of Rydale, so that everybody can get engaged, and it could be a quick win, I hope. So I just thought I'd like to say that. But thanks very much, Becky, for this.
Okay, any further questions? Councillor Aper.
Yeah, on here, we've on 13 on the Appendix 2, we're holding workshops with staff to raise awareness of what can be recycled. Is it possible that be rolled out to a wider audience, i.e. to the public as well, and use every means possible to facilitate that?
Yeah, that's possible. And I put that in really to start with our staff first, but we also do talks in schools, and we can maybe do more on that. You know, there's various things we can do just to raise that awareness. I've also put in a briefing for members as well. I think, you know, it's about working with everybody to try and get the awareness out there.
Any other questions? No, in which case I'll move as chairman, seconded by the vice chairman. Any comments? Councillor Raper.
Thank you, chairman. First of all, thank you, Becky. We welcome this report. It's very thorough, very detailed, and we had a brilliant pre-meeting, in a sense, on this particular topic a few nights ago, where most of this, what's on this document tonight, was discussed. There are things that can be done. Social media, the press, our website, all sorts of other facilities can be used to promote the message. Side of vehicles, every vehicle, don't have to be a refuse vehicle, all our vehicles can have that message. There was a short and sharp message recently about don't be a waster. Something of that ilk can be a recycler. You know, get fit, can be recycled. Something that's catchy, something it's irrelevant and a bit silly, usually catches the imagination. Try to get this awareness raised, but people need to know what these materials are that can be recycled. They need a definitive, you can recycle this and you can't recycle that. And there are some materials that don't go to recycle because they've been recycled once and they're coming through again, and so they haven't got that ability to be used a third time, as it were. So we need a little bit more information for Joe Public to look at to make that choice as to whether to recycle and whether that particular item can be. And generally food trays are one of the few that can't be. And that needs to be re-emphasised, I think. If it had food in it, you know, you're wasting everybody's time. But we'll take it anyway, I believe, that we do take it anyway and get rid of it. So welcome this report, Chairman.
Anyone else? Councillor Thornton.
Thank you, Chair. I'd just like to report that I went to a very interesting meeting last night in Pickering, set up by Pickering Town Council, but with them and the five towns, but with the councillors backing off from running the group. And there were about 40 members of the public coming with ideas about recycling, expressing an uncertainty as to what they could or couldn't recycle, enthusiastic about reuse rather than throwing stuff away, and somehow the frustration about if you take something that's in perfectly good order but unwanted to the tip, then it could not be reused once it's gone through the gates. So there are all sorts of strategies for dealing with that, and an enthusiasm to engage as a community outside of the traditional council processes.
Thank you. Anyone else? I don't know. We've still got them. Reuse. Okay, let's move to the verse.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, thank you. So we're now going to move to consider the recommendations of the two working parties. This is the last time we will receive recommendations from working parties as an amalgamated report with just minutes. In future, if there's any recommendation from a working party that requires a decision, that will come forward as a separate report. So first one is agenda item 6, resources working party on the held of the
held on the 8th of November 2018. As chairman of that working party, I move the recommendations, which you will note, I think, are all to note the report. Is that seconded?
Please.
So that's seconded by the vice chairman. Let's go to the vote.
That's unanimous, Chairman.
Thank you. The next item is to consider the recommendations from the Corporate Peer Challenge Improvement Plan Working Party held on the 8th of November 2018. I move those recommendations as the Chairman of that Working Party, seconded by the Vice Chairman. Let's go to the vote, please.
And that's unanimous, Chairman.
Thank you. Oh, apologies about that, Councillor Wainwright. Well, the final item was urgent business, and there is none. So we've got through a mammoth agenda, which I think was probably one of the longest we've ever had for Policy and Resources Committee. So thank you for your patience. Meeting closed.